Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the new Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and the Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church.
In the Senate, the Democrats are basically following the line of the pro-abortion people, and that is they don't want anything to interfere with the rights of abortion. This won't interfere with it. It just says that taxpayers shouldn't have to pay for it.
That's Senator Orrin Hatch of Utah talking about a bipartisan amendment attached to a health care reform legislation in the U.S. Senate that would ban federal funding for abortion. So, can we count on pro-life Democrats to do in the Senate what pro-life Democrats did in the House, attaching an amendment and making federal funding for abortion, well, and something completely excluded from health care reform? We'll find out here. Wendy Wright joins us for the last 10 minutes of this afternoon's Issues Etc. on this Wednesday afternoon, December the 2nd. Wendy Wright is president of Concerned Women for America, based in Washington, D.C. Wendy, welcome back.
Thank you.
Will pro-life Democrats in the Senate do what pro-life Democrats in the House were able to do when it came to banning federal funding for abortion and health care reform?
One of the problems is there are so few of them in the Senate. I can only count two, Bob Casey, who's from Pennsylvania, and Bill Nelson from Nebraska. And that's not enough to get this amendment passed. But in the House, there were Democrats and even Republicans who voted for the pro-life amendment who themselves are not pro-life. It's because they recognize that the majority of Americans don't want their tax dollars or federal funding paying for elective abortions. So we need to pressure and convince Democrats in the Senate, whether they are pro-life or not, to uphold this amendment or to vote in favor of this amendment, an amendment that reflects the will of Americans.
Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid says that this amendment is unnecessary. He also says that if it were passed, it would restrict a woman's right to choose. Your response?
That's crazy, because I guess their definition of restricting the right to get an abortion means that the taxpayers have to pay for a woman's abortion, and frankly, that's not been that's not something that Americans want. And you know, it's especially surprising to hear Senator Harry Reid say something like that, because he tells the folks back home that he's pro-life, and yet when he's in Washington D.C., he works in a manner that would undercut pro-life measures, like he's doing in this case. Now, the current Senate health care bill will end up creating a system that will pay for abortions. And let's bring this down to some practical reality. We know that the health care system that would be created through this bill will end up rationing health care. It's the only way that they'll be able to contain some of the costs. And so let's say there's a woman who's pregnant and her baby or she has special needs. So this is going to be result in expensive health care needs. And it's a bureaucrat in Washington, D.C. that's deciding what treatment will be approved and what treatment will not be approved. And if finances or how much it costs is a consideration in that decision, and this bureaucrat is looking at several thousands of dollars to pay for the delivery, the prenatal care, the postnatal care of this baby, or $400 to pay for an abortion, it's not unlikely that we'll have bureaucrats deciding that a woman will, in essence, have to have an abortion because that's the only thing that will get paid for. So that's why there needs to be strong language by Congress in the bill that says that abortions will not be covered. Otherwise, not only will elective abortions be covered, but even abortions that women may not want, but it's what's approved by a bureaucrat.
Okay. Senator Hatch says he doubts they can get 60 votes. He hopes they can, but he doubts they will. That means this amendment will not pass. That will leave the Senate with a health care reform bill that likely has federal funding for abortion, and the House with a health care reform bill that doesn't. What happens next?
It goes to a conference committee, and that's a committee made up of some senators, some members of the House of Representatives, and they have to hash out a compromise. Now, there's some concern that they may bypass that procedure, and the bill then would end up most likely not having the Stupak amendment, the pro-life amendment in it. And so if the final version, both the House and the Senate then will have to vote on the final version, whatever the committee comes up with. And at that point, then, we'll see if these congressmen that voted for the Stupak amendment the first time around will stick to their principles and vote against a final bill if it does not include the pro-life amendment in it.
If you were to call the office of a pro-choice senator, what would you tell them? What would you have to say to them about this amendment for the Senate bill?
Yes. Well, this amendment does reflect the will of the majority of Americans. We don't want our tax dollars, our federal funding, paying for elective abortions. This goes beyond the idea of a woman's right to choose, and it's forcing other people to pay for her right to choose. And activists in favor of defeating this amendment claim that they want comprehensive health care for all Americans. Well, in many cases, these babies that are being aborted are little girls, and both little girls and little boys would not get any kind of health care, let alone comprehensive health care, if this amendment is not passed, if there is not a ban on the funding of abortion in the health care bill. So the two things are, this amendment, the pro-life amendment, reflects the opinion and the will of the majority of Americans that we don't want our tax dollars paying for abortion, and also it would deny health care to the most vulnerable, that is, unborn children.
Do you have any other concerns about end-of-life issues and the Senate's version of health care reform?
Yes, there is some concern regarding the language associated with assisted suicide, that the current language will end up promoting assisted suicide in the states where that's allowed. And so, again, our federal funding would pay for what could be termed treatment, but the treatment is really ending a patient's life.
Well, I guess I wonder, to kind of wrap up the whole issue on health care reform, what do you think is likely to happen? If I had to ask you to prognosticate, will the pro-life Democrats in the House, who will eventually have to vote on both versions of the bill or a compromise version, will they stand their ground and prevent health care reform from passing in the House rather than see federal funding for abortion in it?
I think it all depends on what their constituents say to them. They're going to get a lot of pressure from the White House. They're going to get a lot of pressure from groups like Planned Parenthood and others that will financially benefit from a bill going through that would cover abortion. And that's why it's important that constituents, which means everyone who's a voter, who's listening to us today, it's important for them to express their views to their congressmen and tell them to oppose any health care bill that would use federal funds to pay for abortion. Or the end of life of issues that to promote the idea that ending a patient's life is a form of treatment. So the answer to that question is really in the hands of each one of us. If we pressure our congressmen, visiting them at their district offices, calling them, and making sure that they hear loud and clear from us that we do not want them voting for a health care bill that would be detrimental to the health of the most vulnerable in society.
Wendy Wright is president of Concerned Women for America, based in Washington, D.C. Wendy, we thank you for your time. Please keep up the good work.
Thank you.
We will post a link to Concerned Women for America under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll spend some time with St. Louis Post-Dispatch columnist Colleen Carroll Campbell. Do we need health care reform? I think that debate is probably, I mean, if we didn't before, we do now. So should Americans want equitable health care in the U.S.? Yes. Now, we can debate what equitable means, but I think everybody wants to see it be an equitable system, not overly expensive, not overly bureaucratic, not wasteful. So, yes to health care reform in general, but no to taxpayer-funded abortion. There are two reasons for that. One is, no one who is opposed to abortion should be required, directly or indirectly, to pay for one. But there's a bigger issue here. It's philosophical. It's a little more subtle, but I think it probably carries a lot of weight. Abortion isn't health care. Abortion doesn't heal anything, doesn't treat anything. Pregnancy is not an illness. Abortion isn't medicine. It shouldn't be included at all. And yet it is. So the best we can do is try and prevent healthcare reform from making the rest of us pay for it. But make no mistake about it. Snuffing out the life of an unborn child in her mother's womb is not medicine. It's not healthcare. It is not any part of the healing arts. It is taking a human life, something that is inimical and contradictory to the very purposes of the healthcare profession. No doctor should put his hand to that kind of evil work, not only because it's wrong, but because it's contrary to what doctors do. No nurse should help in it. No mother should go to a doctor asking for one. It isn't medicine. It isn't treatment. It doesn't make anyone better. It only takes a life and ruins others. But the horse left the barn on that one a long time ago. We're in a cleanup phase. We're doing the best we can. So, yes, better health care for everyone. That's fine. But let's include those unborn children, too. Let them live so that they can enjoy the health care that the rest of us want, right? I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.